This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Podcast. We have a very fun show today. I have a delightful person with me, Jordan Sicato, and she has started a program of giving homeless doggies booties, little booties, to protect them from the heat and from the cold. And you know, in where she lives in Phoenix, Arizona, it can get very hot on the sidewalk in the summer and cold in the winter. So Jordan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So tell me the name of your organization and how you got started.
So my name of my organization is Laws for Paws LLC, and I started it after growing up volunteering with my mom at animal organizations. My mom has always taken me with her, and I found a really deep connection and love with animals. And that brought me to the side of starting to recognize malpractices with animals. And that's when I decided that I needed to do something to make that change, to have better circumstances for dogs, cats, whatever it may be. And so I founded Laws for Paws LLC, and we've been doing advocacy for animal welfare.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And one of your things that you've taken on is the notion of getting some help for homeless dogs. We see them with people and it's very sad and they look kind of not so happy, you know, standing out there in the elements. And so what is it you're doing for the dogs and how do you do it?
We established Bears Boots, and Bears Boots is a fundraiser where we've been raising money to get dog boots for homeless pets on the street, as well as care packages for their owners. These boots are so necessary because it is so hot and it can cause blistering and burning, and we've seen lethal consequences for animals out on the street. So my mom and I work with a partner organization, Dogsdale AZ, and we distribute these boots with them in downtown Phoenix, as well as my mom and I, we go out on the streets personally and distribute care packages and dog boots.
That's so wonderful. Now, you're still in high school. What grade are you in?
I am a sophomore.
All right. Getting there.
Yeah.
Well, that's really beautiful that you have this mission, you know, that you are drawn to help and be of service to people who really need help, and to animals and the people. So that's really just a beautiful thing. What is it? Yeah. Well, you know, tell me maybe a story of a situation where you helped somebody with some booties and kind of got to know them a little bit, and tell us a little story about that.
So I have met many people with good stories. One of them is a dog named Rosie, and I met her owner and we talked, and she said that, you know, it's hard for her to be out on the street. She divorced from her husband a couple years ago, and it wasn't necessarily her choice to go on the street, but she had no other option. And Rosie was her closest companion. So, you know, they live together, they do everything together. And when we were able to help provide for Rosie, you know, the owner's face just absolutely lit up, and you can tell how much she loves and cares for her dog.
Beautiful. And how do you feel homeless dogs are doing in general? Are they getting enough food? Are they getting enough water? What's the conditions like for them out there?
Obviously, it's not perfect conditions, as it isn't with any form of living. And that's something that I would like to help improve. But in general, I would say that most homeless pet owners care for their pets more than they care for themselves. My mom and I, we've approached people and they'll show us backpacks full of just dog treats instead of any human food.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's really beautiful. I know that a lot of people have mixed feelings. They see homeless people, don't give them money, whatever, you know, but when I see people with dogs, I can't help but I give them money. And do you give them leashes and other things that they might need also, or just the booties?
So I do give them leashes. We give out harnesses, water in the care packages. And then right now we're running a drive specifically for items like that for Valentine's Day. And that'll tie into Bears Boots as well throughout the summer.
That's great. Now, have any of your classmates joined you on this mission, or is this mostly you?
Well, so since the attention has kind of been coming towards the organization, like getting posted on my district's like announcements and stuff, a bunch of people have reached out to me and they're like, I'd love to volunteer with you. I'd love to help. So especially for our upcoming stuff, I am having support from a lot of my classmates, which I love.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And it gives them, you know, a sense of purpose too, to help and get involved. And, you know, even if they're not the kind of people that would start their own organization, to jump on board with another organization that's already in motion. You know, not everybody has to start their own organization. We don't want people to feel like they have to. There's so many good organizations doing good work who need volunteers. So that's really great that you can provide that opportunity for people to give something back to the community.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to work with them.
Yeah. Well, if you had, I mean, you probably hear, you know, about legislation that's going on. If you could wave your wand, you say laws for paws, what are some of the laws that you would like to see enacted that would help the situation?
I would say this is kind of a touchy subject because you can't require everyone to have dog boots out on the street. But I would say maybe providing mandatory things when people come into court or when people are placed in jail and they have pets, you know, maybe giving out a mandatory water, food, something like that, that could help improve their conditions and the pets' conditions. I would love to see a world where, you know, you would have to walk with dog boots outside on the street. But I don't know if that's ever feasible, but that's definitely a dream condition.
Yeah. And what are your, do you have a career in mind? I mean, love, what's your direction that you're going to pursue as an adult? You're doing wonderful things as a sophomore in high school, but what would you like to be when you grow up?
I want to continue my work with animals for the rest of my life. And I know that set in stone. I have always wanted to be a lawyer. I would love to do something like criminal justice and just advocacy for those who may not be able to speak or, you know, have a mental disability. That's also pretty much my life's purpose, as well as advocating for animals. So honestly, anything where I'm put in a position where I can help others, I would be happy to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a movement trying to get animals out of the category of property and into the notion that animals have rights, as do people, you know. Have you been following along with that?
I actually did not know about that. And now that I would love to look into that.
Yeah, it's really, I think it's called the Non-Human Animal Rights Project.
That's awesome.
And yeah, they've done some really good work. I mean, it's very slow going. It's not like they've been able to, because it's a pretty big issue to say,
yeah,
to go from the notion that we currently have that animals are property and, you know, that they have no rights independent, that if they're in bad situations, you know, this just the whole notion of what if we viewed animals as, you know, beings with rights, and yeah, how would that change the way they're treated in society? So it's a really interesting thing to look into. So yeah, I hope you'll check them out and see how you can get involved. Yeah.
So
there's just so much that, yeah, there's just so much that needs to be done. But I love the idea that you pick just something small and manageable. You know what I mean? Like getting booties for dogs that don't have them. You know what I mean? Sometimes the issues seem so overwhelming and so big, but to break it down to say, well, what can we do? The one thing that this daily experience of standing on the corner could, how could we help? Well, booties would help. Water would help. A leash would help. You know, to just look at the, just what is one thing we can do is a very brilliant strategy. I think congratulations for doing that, because it can feel overwhelming for those of us who have a heart for animals. It's like, where do we start? You know, the situation is so drastic, you know, with the, you know, every 90 seconds an animal's killed in a shelter. You know, it can be really overwhelming, but to just find one thing where you have the passion and where you can do something and get involved, you know, get others. Because I think that's really important, is not to be a lone wolf in this process. I'm not saying you are. You're obviously not doing that. You're working with your mom and with your friends, and other people are finding out about you. How can people get in touch with you if they want to support you in some way or another?
Any way to get in touch with me and any resources that you would need is through our website, lawsforpaws.org, or on any of our social medias, which is all Laws for Paws Arizona.
Okay, great. And what are some of your plans that you'd like to do this year? Do you have any new goals for this year? Here we are just starting the year here.
I do. One of them, and this is a bigger project, I've been working with Senator John Kavanaugh and the Animal Defense League of Arizona for the past 2 years. And we are working on legislation to pass a ban on the sale of animal cosmetically tested products within Arizona. And I this is such a big issue to me, because and it's pioneering the fact that, you know, no animal testing should be anywhere. And that's what the goal with this bill is. Along with this, we are working on a Valentine's Day drive, like I mentioned earlier. We're doing toys and then care packages for those in the streets, as well as we will be continuing Bear's Boots into the summer.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, the whole thing with animal research is so horrible. You know, first of all, you know, the animals are often kept in captivity with no contact with their other members of their species, which is, you know, torture. I mean, that, like, the worst thing we can do to humans in prison, put them in solitary confinement, and we do that to animals. So that, you know, it's just inhumane on that very most basic social level. But then it's also inhumane, of course, in terms of the methods. And what makes it even more tragic is that 98% of the products that test safe on animals don't end up being safe for humans. So the whole notion is misguided. You know, we really have to educate people. And especially now, have you heard of an organization called NAVS, National Anti-Vivisection Society, NAVS?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Well, they are like supporting graduate students who are coming up with alternative testing methods, you know, like computer testing methods and other things. So it's not anti-science. You know, we certainly want to be able to support science and we want research. We definitely want that, but we don't want to do it in a way that hurts animals. And, you know, that people need to be, especially the cosmetic. There's actually no law that says that the cosmetics have to be tested at all on animals. They just do it, you know.
In certain countries, it's not legal in America.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So we really have to educate people not to, you know, the consumers have to take a stand by not buying products. You know, we need to buy products that say not tested on animals. You know, that's something that we need to change the culture. So when you talk to like people your age, do they understand these issues about animal testing? Is that something they're aware of with cosmetics, or is it like, what?
I think a lot of people think animal testing is just putting makeup on dogs and cats and like seeing how it looks. And I've had to inform a bunch of people that that is not what animal testing is. Animal testing goes so much deeper into that. I've explained my personal research methods. I've shown them companies that do test it and don't test it with cruelty. The Leaping Bunny with Cruelty Free International. I have educated a lot of people on it, but I think that a lot of people are very blindsided when they hear it. Like, what do you mean it's not, you know, putting mascara on a dog and it's injecting needles into animals?
Yeah. And just those horrible experiments with the bunnies and the, you know, trapped bunnies, and, you know, they're putting things into their eyes. It's not anything that should be done. And the sooner we can get people, it has to start with the public. It has to start. I mean, of course, we have to work at the level of legislation, but as long as the public is not aware and continues to buy products that use these methods, it's never going to get it. You know, we have to get people educated. So it's just wonderful that you are in that process. And when you explain that to people, do they say, okay, I'm committed, I'm not going to buy those products anymore? Or do they just keep buying them? What happens?
I think a lot of people become more conscious of the products that they're buying. I personally use all cruelty-free makeup and know a lot of my friends do as well, but I also know a lot of my friends that don't. So I think it's based on the person's personal view on how big the issue is and what they decide to do with it.
Yeah. Well, how do you talk to them? Do you talk to them about cruelty? Do you talk to them about ethics? Like, what's your angle to get people who are not aware to be aware?
I come from more of a moral angle. You know, do you have pets? Can you imagine this happening to your pet? I also explain, I try to stay logical with it, and I kind of explain, this is what it is, this is what can be done to stop it, and this is a substitute for it, as well as the, you know, it's coming from a place of your heart, that's why you need to change this. And so I kind of like to cater to my audience. If I have a friend who's more based on logic, or a friend who's based more on emotion, or someone who's both.
Yeah, it's very good, because you know, you want to be able to adjust the message in a way that's going to land, you know, because there's no point. It isn't one size fits all when it comes to messaging. And so it's wonderful that you're aware of that. And some people will, you know, just show them the picture of that bunny and that horrible contraption they put them in, or the chimpanzees, you know, and that's enough. But other people need to really understand the basics. And I think when you tell people that 98% of the tests are don't prove anything anyway, and all these animals have been subjected to it for no good reason. That's not science to me. I mean, like that, you know, science should be like, okay, this isn't working, let's try something else. You know what I mean? So, yeah, well, I'm so glad you're doing this work. We need to take a really short little break. When we come back, I want to hear some more of the stories that have really keep your heart pumping when you're doing this pretty difficult work. So we'll be right back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection. I'm your host, Jeannie Joseph, and I'm speaking with Jordan Staccato. And she is a sophomore in high school, and she's created her own organization, Laws for Paws. And she's doing all kinds of wonderful, wonderful advocacy work for not only pets, but the people who have them, especially people who are homeless and with homeless animals. So sometimes I would imagine that you approach someone and they're not sure, you know, like, you know, I'm sure they get approached by people who want something. You know, I don't know. They just maybe don't trust anybody that comes. So tell us the story of how somebody that initially didn't trust you and that grew to trust you.
I have met people where they will walk away. They will shut off. They will be terrified because, or they will ask me straight up, are you going to take my pet? And that is the reason why they're so terrified, because they think that we are there to, you know, remove this pet from them, when in reality, we are here to help their pet. So I have built connections with many homeless people just kind of by talking, explaining what I do with my mom and with partner organizations. And I've watched, I can't even count the amount of people's faces go from absolutely dull and lifeless with, you know, no clue on what's going to happen next to just absolutely glowing and grateful. And that is one of my favorite things to see on people, when you see the true gratefulness in their face once we give them the care that they need, because that opens them up to starting to ask other resources. Some will ask, like, can you help with medical care? Can you help with rehoming? And that's where we can go further on.
That's wonderful. Do you have like a little shirt you wear or something that they know you, that you're not like a Laws for Paws? Yeah, that's great. And does that happen to homeless people, that their animals are taken from them?
It does a lot. Most of the time people will find animals and keep them, and then they'll wake up and they're stolen or someone has confiscated it. And it's very scary having a pet that you just now found, or maybe a longtime companion, be torn away from you, not knowing what happens to them.
Yeah, that is just awful. That is awful to think about. Well, how do you stay happy, you know, given, you know, when you're in the presence of such suffering and, you know, you can't just wave your wand and fix it all. But what keeps you going? What keeps you from taking, you know, like taking it so to heart that your heart gets drained? How do you manage that?
I view this as one of those things where if I'm not going to do it, who else will? And I think that being able to withstand the suffering and see the conditions that these people are in, it grows my heart to help more, because I know that I have the ability, because I'm so blessed with this organization, to help them. And that is exactly what I believe my purpose is to do.
It's wonderful. That's really terrific. It's really terrific. Excellent. And so when you when you find people with, you know, some of them took their pets with them. They left maybe a situation of domestic violence or something, a situation that was dangerous. And I know one of the big challenges is that most of the shelters will not take people with pets. So people with pets, if they have to leave a dangerous situation, they have to just take their pet. And yeah. What can they do to make life on the streets easier while having a pet? How can they do better? I mean, booties is one thing. What else could they do? What else do they need?
So there are countless organizations that we work with that are willing to help with nail clippings. They'll neuter and spay your pet. There's trimmings. Dogs Dow AZ, I know, does nail clippings specifically. I just thought of that. People will set up food stations where you can receive food and supplies for you and your pets, you know, toothbrushes. I know that there are some places that have free showers and bathrooms. Taking the opportunity to take advantage of that is going to be the best bet, as well as reaching out to organizations that you may think can help. You know, I need supplies this way. You know, can you send someone over to me? Things like that will make your life much easier.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that's a big part of it, is just letting people know that resources are there. They may not know, you know, so if you can just say, hey, you know, go here, you need this, you need that, and get other organizations involved. Have other organizations taken you seriously and helped you, or?
Yes, I was surprised about this because I thought that nobody would take me seriously because of my age. But within the animal nonprofit community, everyone has been so welcoming, and they are gracious to accept donations and to help us and give us donations and, you know, feed supplies to someone on the streets that might need it. And I am just eternally grateful for everyone that has been so nice about it.
Yeah, well, it really looks like a win-win all the way around. Well, is there one story you want to leave us with that really touched your heart, an experience of working with someone out there on the street with an animal and how you were able to turn things around in some way for them?
Mm-hmm. So I have met people that are so incredibly down that they are considering, you know, maybe ending their life or, you know, committing some form of harm that might not be good to them or their pet. And my mom and I personally, we have been able to talk to people like that and go, okay, well, we have resources for you and options for you to make this a better situation. And then when people take those resources and you can see that they're making a genuine change, that's probably one of the most touching things I've been able to see. Seeing someone's perspective on life change just by knowing that there is help out there.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Has anyone ever said to you, please take my pet, I can't manage it? Or?
Yes, we have people reach out to us all the time. We have rescued pets, but we can't obviously intake pets constantly because I do work out of my house with my mom. So we will get in touch with other shelters or fosters and find resources for that person to get the pet rehomed.
Yeah, great. Excellent. Well, how can people get a hold of you and find you and help you?
You can reach out to us at lawsforpaws.org, or you can reach out to us on any of our social medias, and they're all Laws for Paws Arizona. Our primary social medias are Facebook and Instagram.
Great. So that's Laws, LAWS, for Paws?
Yes.
Laws for Paws, FOWR. Yes, yeah, spelled out. Well, I wish you the best of luck. It is beautiful work that you're doing. You're truly an inspiration. And I know that you're helping other people find their pathway to a sense of purpose, too. So thank you for everything you're doing. And thank you for being a guest on the Human Animal Connection.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll say bye for now, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.